Hi everyone. Now we're going to see some classical studies in social network analysis. These are studies that have been influential in our field and set a lot of the methods and questions that we have later, address later in other studies. Yeah, Moreno, 1934. He was researching an epidemic, but not an epidemic as a virus, as we see in our days, but an epidemic of a certain behavior. That was an epidemic of runaways. He was visiting a school in the state of New York that was witnessing an epidemic of runaways. Yeah, girls leaving schools more than average at that time. So Moreno wanted to understand why. Why so many girls were leaving the school? What could actually explain this behavior? So at the first glance, he tried to conduct some individual analysis and trying to identify individual traits, characteristics that could explain this behavior. Well, he didn't find any. So this behavior could not be explained by looking at individual characteristics or traits. His next step was to look at the interactions. And he conducted what we know in these days as a social network analysis. He mapped interactions in that school. And what he found out that the girls that were running the school had a certain structural position. They had a certain position in a network structure, meaning that they were under a certain web of influence. So the main factor explaining that behavior was their position in a network structure rather than any individual or personal traits. And that set the boundaries or the possibilities for many other studies in social network analysis, in which certain behaviors could be explained by the position of individuals in a network structure, in a web of interactions. Another very important study, social network analysis, is the one by Granovetter, 1973. This is a study about the strength of weak ties. Okay, what do you call a strong or weak tie in the language of network analysis? Let's say someone with whom you have 50 common friends on Facebook, or someone with whom you interact very often. This would be in the language of network analysis, a strong tie. Someone with maybe you do not have any common friend on Facebook. Someone whom you may talk once in a while, but you don't have like an often communication with that contact. In the language of network analysis, this would be a weak tie. His work was about job hunting and how we get information about jobs opportunities. We know that our connections help us get information about jobs. But what kind of connection actually help us find jobs, at least information about jobs? And what he found out is that the weak ties, people with whom you have less than one interaction yearly, are very important when it comes to job hunting. Why? Because they may give you non-redundant information and information about other clusters or other networks that you wouldn't have otherwise. These strong ties are important, but very often they give you access to information that you already have. So, even if it may look very counterintuitive, the weak ties, the people with whom you do not have the same close connections as in the strong ties, are very important in terms of providing you with information outside your own local group, your own local interactions, and that may be very important when it comes to job hunting. However, not only to job hunting. Have a varied network, having access to other clusters, other groups, besides our own local close interactions, can be actually very important, very beneficial for many reasons. Another very important study by Burt, 1995. He was talking about the structure holes. What's a structure hole? Let's say you're connected with B and C, but B and C are not connected with each other. This means that you have a structure hole in your egocentric network. is a lack of a tie between two nodes within an ego network. And this brings important implications for you. Well, first of all, it gives you access to maybe non-redundant information from two different nodes in a network, two different agents in a network. It gives you some kind of potential brokering in a network. Maybe you are someone who actually connecting people, and by doing that, you may have access to non-redundant information that maybe other people in the same network might not have access to. So you have a potential for brokering. And a lot of the work in social network analysis has been focused on actually identifying structure holes and measuring structure holes. And that's something that you may want to address in your own studies later. Thank you.